The Gemara in Megillah shows up in Daf Ches Daf Arif, really to the Makoros who are drawing from. The Gemara in Megillah asks, toward the end, fourth parak, asks, if you're allowed to destroy a shul, so every situation where you're allowed to destroy a shul, tear down a shul in a town. So the Ran brings two opinions. First he quotes the Ramban, then he quotes his own opinion. He quotes the Ramban, saying, HaRamban tirates, the Beis HaKnesses, Astu Oso Ketashmishe Mitzvah. What are some examples of Tashmishe Mitzvah that we're familiar with? This is a good one, yeah? Well? Tefillin, I think, have Divrei Torah inside, so I'm not sure what that is. They maybe did Tashmishe Kedusha. Sukkah, Lulav, Sittus is a good one. These are all examples of Tashmishe Mitzvah. Shenizrakim Macha Mitzvah Son. Obviously, you need to treat them with respect over the course of the mitzvah, but afterwards, you are technically allowed to throw them out once the mitzvah is done. Bizman mitzvah, yesh ben kedusha shel kavod. During the mitzvah itself, you're supposed to treat them with respect. Afterwards, it's okay. Lefichach, beis hakneses, this is still the Ramban, kol zman shebnei ha'ir rotin bo, nagin bo kedusha afilu b'churbano. As long as the shul is still, let's say, the seen as the central place of prayer for the city, even if it gets destroyed, if the plan is that they're going to rebuild it, they have not yet kind of started a building campaign to build a new shul, so it still retains its kedusha because it's still in a certain sense betoch mitzvah, so a lo avar zman mitzvah, so therefore roy lachzor v'lifno, so if possible you should try to rebuild it. But essentially what the Ramban is saying is that the source of the kedusha of a Beis Knesset is tashmishe mitzvah as opposed to tashmishe kedusha. Acher mitzvah, so you are allowed to throw away tashmishe mitzvah, and therefore, if a shul is, let's say, beyond repair, it can really be rebuilt, it's not shayach, you technically are allowed to destroy a Beis Knesset. Answer the Ran. The Ramban, sorry. The Ran responds to that and says, nearly, the Beis Knesset is the kavosei, a shul and other places like it. Kivan, Shiikaro, Asui, Lomar, Bodavar, Shepikdusha, since the essence of a shul, very interesting point, the essence of a shul is to say Dvarim Shepikdusha inside of it, Hitilubo Chachamim Kedusha Midivrehim. Chazal, Chachamim gave it a special Kedusha Midirabban on a special level of Kedusha, based on the fact that we say Dvarim Shepikdusha inside. So what are the examples of Dvarim Shepikdusha? So the classic Dvarim Shebekdusha, Kaddish Kedusha and Baruch Hu, could also be, I forgot who made this application, but it's also the fact that we're using Torahs inside, we're reading Divrei Torah, right? Kriyas Torah, Maskirin Benavi, a lot of the things inside the shul are used for the sake of the Sefer Torah. So it could be that's part of the reference as well. It's not just the Dvarim Shebekdusha, it's also the Divrei Torah. According to the Ran, the essence of the Beis Knesset, the essence of the shul is not the Divrei Mitzvah, it's not the mitzvot that you do inside of a shul, essentially probably tefillah, but it's the Dvarim Shebekdusha, maybe the Divrei Torah, which kind of define the essence, define the core of what a Beis Knesset is supposed to be. So if you ask me, what's the source, what's the core, what's the essence of the Kedusha of a Beis Knesset, the Ramban would tell you, it's Tashmishe Mitzvah, it's mitzvot that you do inside. The Ramban would say, Mitzvah. The Ran would say, Tashmishe Kedusha, it's a Dvarim Shebekdusha, it's a Divrei Torah. And then, obviously, what would the Ran say in the question of, can you destroy a Beis Knesset? He would say the same way, you're not allowed to throw out, you're not allowed to ever disrespect Tashmishe Kedusha. So too, you would not be allowed to disrespect, you would not be allowed to tear down, throw away, or destroy a Beis Knesset. Two different perspectives into the source of the Kedusha of the Shul. But that itself is an interesting question, right? We don't usually think about where does the Kedusha of a Shul of a Beis Knesset come from. We know that they are holy. We know that playing dreidel, oh, you guys are all yellow capsule guys. No, maybe Jordan. You can be the red capsule guy to get mussar from. We know that dreidel is definitely not the appropriate thing to be doing in the center of a Beis Medrash, as was happening yesterday. Big busha chlima is Zion. But yeah, that's what that was happening. You can pass it on to the red capsule guys. I spoke to Ari and Paris about it. Yeah, there's like a whole chaver going on over there. So yeah, we know that shul, Beis Medrash, this is both, has a high levels of kedusha, things you are allowed to do, things you're not allowed to do. And the question is really, where does that kedusha come from? So we have the Ran, we have the Ramban, two different perspectives. There's a third fascinating perspective, which I think you may have said intuitively, but it's I think powerful to see it coming out through halacha, to see it in the mefarshim, in the poskim even, which adds a whole other dimension to this idea. The Chai Adam, you can start here, the Chai Adam says, Kedushas Beit HaKnesses, the Beit HaMedrash, Gedola Me'od. Kedusha, the base of both the Shul and the Beit HaMedrash are very, very great. Musarim Aleihem, Lira Mimi Shashochein Bahem. Now what does that mean? You are in Musar, we are warned, we are commanded, Mitzvah, Liarei, to fear, Lemi Shashochein Bahem. The one who resides inside the shul, obviously referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kiddush Tziv, what pasuk are we going to quote? And remember, we're talking about Kedushas Beis Knesses Beis Medrash. What pasuk can we possibly quote as a source for the Yira of Kedushas Beis Knesses Beis Medrash? Do we talk about shul? Do we talk about the Medrash in Chamisha Chumashay Torah? Well, it's about a Mishkan. Is that really the pasuk we're going to... That doesn't tell me anything about Yira. Right? That tells me Hashem will dwell among us when we build the Mishkan. Is that relevant to, I'm not saying it's wrong, is that relevant to Bate Knesses, Bate Medrash? Aha, so let's read. Kiddush Tziv, this is the Chai Adam, halachic work, saying, Vayikra Yud Tes Lamed, Umikdashi Tiro. Parshas Kedoshim, Umikdashi Tiro. Velo Beit HaMikdash Milvad, that mitzvah, that pasuk is not only describing a Beit HaMikdash, Elakol Makom HaMakudash, Beit HaMedrash, Nikra, Mikdash, Me'at, Kiddush Tziv, Yechezkel, Yeralef, Tezayin, 11:16. Va'ehi lahem mikdash ma'at elu batekinesio to batek midrashos the gemara from Megillah chaftes amid aleph. So we can quote a pasuk about the Beit HaMikdash and mikdash shitiro and apply those dinim to Beit Knesses Beit Medrash, the yira that we're supposed to have for the Misha Shochein in the Beit Knesses and in the Beit Medrash comes from the yiras hamikdash. Why this gemara in Megillah the pasuk in Yechezkel va'ehi lahem mikdash ma'at elu batekinesios u batek midrashos. Kasva poskim the mitzvah zul yiras min hamikdash no way be beis hakneses ubeis hamedrash midoraisa. This mitzvah of yiras beis hakneses yiras beis hamedrash applies. Sorry, this mitzvah of yiras mikdash applies midoraisa both to the shul and to the beis hakneses. They do have different dinim, right? There is a difference between the kedusha beis hakneses, kedusha beis hamedrash. Things you are allowed to do in one, you can do in the other one, but just to recognize that the source of that kedusha is the yiras mikdash. That's incredibly powerful. V'lachein, because of that application, he quotes the Iraim, because of that application, asur l'daber behem dvarim b'talim. You're not allowed to just schmooze inside of Beit Medrash, Beit Knesses, in Mechashim and Mechashbonos, El Shem Mitzvah. You can't do business, you can't do calculations unless it's L'Shem Mitzvah, Kupa Shal Tzedakur Chedome, Mikol Shigen Shasur Sham, Bischok V'Kalus Rosh, Dreidel, V'Halayam Ne'amar, Mi Bikei Zos Mi'adcham Ramos Chatei Rai, who asked you to come in here? Who asked you to trample my courtyards? If you're not using this place correctly, get out of here, go outside. Umar Ba'atmo Shein Lochelek Belokei Yisrael. Wow, if you're misappropriating the area of the Beis Knesses, Beis Medrash, you are ma'ariv ha'atmo. You have shown for yourself ein lo chelek v'lokei Yisrael. Anybody who's done some Hanukkah stuff, does that remind you of anything? Hanukkah sugyas, Hanukkah ideas, kisru al keren ashor. What did the Yevanim, b'shas gezeira, the Yevanim told Jewish people or forced the Jewish people to write on the horn of an ox or a horn of a cow, ein lanu chelek v'lokei Yisrael. Interesting connection. In lo chelek v'lokei Yisrael. The Zohar maflig ma'od ba'ansham. The Zohar, it's not so uncommon from what I know about the Zohar. It's not so uncommon that the Zohar is maflig and is very harif about the punishment the person gets for Rachman al-Zan. The Zohar kilu ein lo eloka. And the Zohar says about a person who misuses the Kedusha or does not respect the Kedusha of Beit Knesses Beit Medrash, kilu ein lo eloka. Similar to that, in lo chelek v'lokei Yisrael. Hopefully we can come back around to that Hanukkah and Yiras Mikdash, Yiras Beis Knesses connection. We quoted the Sefer Yireim or Mikdash for Yireisa Me'elokecha. Tiva, it's a different pasuk, but a similar idea. Tiva, B'ikanes Adam LeMikdash, O B'Beis HaKnesses, O L'Beis HaMedrash, Shinaik Behem Mora, V'Kibud, when you walk into the Beis Mikdash, or Shul, or Beis Medrash, again, somebody, and the Yireim is coming from a halachic lens, this is not Divrei Hashkafa, someone who walks into a Mikdash, or a Beis Knesset, or a Beis Medrash, it's all the same makor of the Yirei Samei Elokecha, we need to treat those places with Mora and Kavod. Siva Parshas Bar Sinai, Shafsa Saiki Shmori Mikdashi Tiro, Lo Mimikdashi Atayari, Ala Mishi Hisir, Ala Mikdash, fine, very nice. Another fascinating one, the Sechemed quotes, that you're mekayim the mitzvah de'oraisa of binyan beis hamikdash when you build the shul. The Sdei Chemed, the Rav Shechter likes to call him like the earliest halachic encyclopedia. he gathered together a lot of concepts arranged alphabetically. It's a, sort of alphabetically. It's a very interesting paper. So this Teichem, it says that you're Mekayim a mitzvah deraisa when you build the Beis Knesset. That's fascinating. One more from the Rambam, the Minyan HaMitzvot, the Rambam Samachay. Yeah, the Rambam says, Shalom la'abed, lo sasei samachay, shalom la'abed, Beis HaMikdash, ubate kinesios, ubate midrashos. You're not allowed to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. But not only the Beis HaMikdash. You're not allowed to destroy Beis HaMikdash, or Beis Knesses, or Beis Medrash. B'chein, in moch kinashem otam kudashin, you're not allowed to erase any of God's holy names. In ma'abdin es kisvei HaKodesh, you can't destroy any of the kisvei HaKodesh. And amara beit ta'abdun, v'asher yemdi sifun be'esh, lo sasun kein, v'asher lokechem. We are commanded to destroy Avodah Zarah and all the institutions of Avodah Zarah. And then on the flip side, we're not allowed to do anything like that for things which are which have the Kedushas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore you would not be allowed to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. That makes sense. That's intuitive. But in addition to that, the Rambam throws in Minyan HaMitzvos, Deraisa, Batei Knesios, Ubatei Midrashos. So fascinating point. It's not just the Beis HaMikdash where Mitzvah Tzvi Yari from, and the source of the Kedusha in this perspective, the source of the Kedusha of the Beis Knesset, the Beis HaMikdash, is not the mitzvahs that we do inside. It's not the Divrei Torah, the Dvarim Shebekdusha, right? The Kaddish Kedusha, Baruch Hu, Kriyas Torah, things like that, which we do inside of a shul. It's the fact that we call this the Mikdash Ma'as. It's the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shochin in this building, in this area, and that's the source of the Kedusha. That's the source of the Kavod, and the Yira, we're supposed to be knowing here. Now, with this perspective, if we really appreciate that we're looking at a shul, we're looking at a Beis Medrash, as a Mikdash Ma'at, we can understand a bunch of fascinating halachos. But the first one, and really the most obvious one, is the fact that when you walk into any shul, anywhere in the world, it doesn't matter where, the fact that you walk into any shul, the layout, the setup, is basically always the same. Describe random shul you've never seen before, how is it going to look? What's going to be what's going to be directly in front of you? The doors are always supposed to be behind you. Directly in the back, when you walk in, you should be facing directly to the Aron. That is the way it's supposed to be built. We understand why. But the doors don't face in. So the Aron is supposed to be in the center. When the Aron is, how is the Aron usually crafted? Okay, that's a hard question. Usually it's supposed to be in its own little zone. It's supposed to be in its own little area, if possible. We'll explain that in a second. But you have the Aron up front. You always have a menorah, usually the Darom in the south. Should be on the side. Once you get past the Aron, right, you have the Bima in the center. Do you want to pull up the full list? Saron Sex. Where's my list? Okay. So you have the Aron with the Sefer Torah. The Aron with the Sefer Torah is essentially the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Aron has the Luchos inside. Then you have the Paroches. Paroches parallels, meaning the Paroches on the Aron parallels the actual Paroches, separating between the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the Aron inside and the rest of the Mikdash. Then outside of that, you have the Amud HaTfilah, is the Mizbeach HaKetores, Amud HaTfilah right there, right past the Aron. That's connected to the Mizbeach HaKetores at the area of the Kodesh. Next to that on the side would be the Menorah. The Bima, farther away from the Amud HaTfilah, is the Mizbeach HaChitzon, the Azara. That's where people gather, that's where people are able to sit, that's where people come, I guess, for the central, for the main part of the Avodah. We already said the entrance should be facing the Aron, just like in the Mikdash. The entrance faced the just like in the Mikdash, the entrance faced the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Right, we have the height of a shul. The shul is supposed to be the highest building in the area, in the town. Just like the Beis HaMikdash was supposed to be the highest place in all of Yerushalayim. The Tiyas Yadayim for davening, the Rav Asher Weiss gives 12 different halachos. This is coming from his list. The Tiyas Yadayim for davening parallels the Tiyas Yadayim done that the Kohanim would do before, and Tiyas Yadayim Baraglayim, the Kohanim would do before they were able to serve, do the Avoda. There's a question, the Yerim talks about the question of Mi'ila or Nisr Hana with the base Knesset that's connected to the base Mikdash, the Marm Psachim. There's an issue of Lo Sa'asun Kema, that was we already said. good. Okay, so yeah, the mitzvah to build the shul, we said the stechem and marach taklalim, oz beiz mem down, if you want the maramakom. There are 12, Rav Asher has 12 different parallels between the dinim of building a Beis Knesset and setting up a Beis Knesset and the dinim of the Beis HaMikdash. Even the layout of a shul parallels the way that the Beis HaMikdash was set up. The Kodesh HaKadoshim to the Kodesh, to the Azara, to the Mizbeach, Mizbeach Chitzim, Mizbeach HaPnimi. All those parallels make sense if we're really trying to recreate, we're really trying to parallel those two structures. And that gives a very different perspective on the Kedusha. What was the source? What's the source of the Kedusha? Basically, that says, if we're trying to parallel, we're trying to build a Mikdash Ma'an, a mini Mikdash, then it makes a lot of sense that these dinim are going to be so strict. So that's really the Beis Knesset discussion. I wanted to try to parallel a little bit into a Hanukkah discussion. Okay, we'll see if this works, and we're going to need some help here. So I think a central question for Hanukkah, is what is the focus, just to say it that way. What's the focus of what we do on Hanukkah? What are our options? Well, Pursumei Nisa, that's the kind of the obvious one. We talk a lot about that. And Hoda, how are we being Moda? What are we being Moda for? So that's Pursumei Nisa V'stama. Same idea, at least overlapping. What's the other option? When you said Pursumei Nisa, which Nisa were you referring to? Are there other options? We have the option of the Milchamas. Presumably, it could refer to a couple different things. I think Rav Neventhal said that the main war in his Hanukkah Sefer, the main miracle is really the Milchama, and it's the fact that Hashem gave us the Neir straight days told us is what taught us that we should be celebrating for 8 days. But the Iker Neis is really the Neis Milchama. This is fascinating. But the presumably it could be for a couple different things. There's also the fact that there's also the reinstatement, right? The Chanukas Hamizbech, the Chanukas Hamikdash, which happened, number one, by the Mishkan way, way back, and then happened again. The Zman Chashmonayim, they were able to re-inaugurate the entire Mikdash after the Yevanim were Metame and stopped it from being used. So we have two different options as to what we're trying to focus on over the course of the day. Are we focusing on Pirushim and Yisrael? Are we focusing on the re-inauguration of the Mikdash? Now, we know that the central avoda, we could call it, is lighting the menorah. Which one of those two ideas are we focusing on when lighting the menorah? Oh, isn't that beautiful? On the one hand, Pirushim and Yisrael, the oil is the nate itself, the fact that there's most of the holech, and we, over the course of time, at least for the Mahadran and Mahadran, we're most of the holech. On the one hand, we're stressing the Pirushim and Yisrael idea. On the other hand, we are all kind of going through the motions of inaugurating the Mikdash by lighting the menorah by the entrances of our houses. The famous Ramban at the beginning of Baalosa, right, the Kadosh Baruch Hu told Aaron at the time of Chanukah Hamizbeach, right, Aaron was upset. I didn't get a share of the Nesim. I didn't get to participate in the Korbanos and the Nesim. And Hashem said to Aaron, your chelik is greater than theirs. Your opportunity is greater than theirs because later on in history, everybody is going to participate. There's going to be the Chanukah Hamizbeach, the Hadlakas Neiros of the Chashmonaim, and everybody is going to participate in your avoda, the Kohanim's avoda, as opposed to the Nesiim, which was a one time in history event. So the lighting of the menorah really parallels or really highlights both of these ideas. It highlights the Pirshumei Nisa. It also highlights the Chanukas Hamizbeach, the Chanukas Hamikdash. Question is, can we figure out if there's one of those two ideas which are primary and another one which is tafel? How can we do that? What approach can we take in order to find out which one is really the primary idea?
If I have one, you give
you one. What do you mean if you don't have one?
Then you'd be able to do the other one, but if you don't have the other one,
then maybe. Oh, okay, very good. So if you take away, well, I don't know, it's not only if you don't have it, because it's always good to get at least one of the two. It would have to be if they clash.
Yeah,
it would have to be if they clash, right? If they clash somehow, if there's some area of these halachos where they would clash, where trying to highlight Pirshumei Nisa would actually stuch the highlighting the Chanukah from his back or vice versa, then we would see which one takes precedence. Anytime you have a clash of values, right? The one which comes out, the one which wins, that shows you this one's primary. It doesn't mean the other one's bad, but it shows you that in this instance, we're trying to highlight and focus on one of them. So let's try to see if we can figure out, if we can see in the halachas of lighting menorah, are there times where there's this clash, there's a difference between, there would be a potential difference between the way we would light for Chanukah HaMikdash versus Pirsumei Nisa, and see which one wins out. I think this is a fascinating way to talk a little bit about the value of a Havamina. Right, in general, one of the questions that we have when we're learning Gemara is like, why can I just kind of open up a tour, open up a Shulchan Aruch, open up a Rambam, and read through the conclusions? Why do I need to go through the whole Shach of the Kari and see the discussion? What's the relevance? If Havina was rejected, why did I need to know about it in the first place? So this could be an interesting lens. When it comes to properly doing the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, they're really like, there's one, I don't know why I wouldn't call it a central question, there's one important question which really defines a lot of what we do. It's a three-word phrase. Hanacha is a mitzvah, hadlaka is a mitzvah. Right? Is it the lighting which does the mitzvah, or is it the placing of the lit menorah which accomplishes the mitzvah? Now, if you had to tell me, but you didn't know anything about anything at all, which one makes sense and which one's a little bit of a surprising suggestion? Hadlaka makes a lot of sense, right? It's the lighting of the menorah which is accomplishing the mitzvah. And what was the havamina of hanachos mitzvah? Where does that come from? Do we have any svaros? Why might it be hanachos mitzvah? Seems strange. Like it makes so much more sense that the mitzvah should be relighting or doing the act of lighting the mitzvah, placing it down. Why should that be relevant? Well, no, that cannot. No. We say that if you're holding the menorah after it's already lit and you place it down, that makes it seem like you just lit it litzorcha. You need a light, and now you place it here because it's so that dafka not pirsumei nisa. So that's a very strange havamina. We obviously we paskin hadlakos mitzvah, right? We know that. But what was the havamina of hanachos mitzvah? Now this is really cool. The Rambam says, and I think it was in Hilchos Klei Mikdash, the Rambam says that when we're talking about the menorah hamikdash, who is allowed to light the menorah hamikdash? This is like my favorite Hanukkah zara, even though it's not really a Hanukkah piece. Who is allowed to light the menorah hamikdash? No. Nope. Even. Yes or even. But the problem is, where is the menorah located? Menorah is located in the Kodesh, right? The Yisrael has no chance of getting to the Kodesh, so how is the Yisrael supposed to get to the menorah? Every so often you have this suggestion of like, they can use a really long piece of wood to light it. But no, the Rambam says, and the Rav is not a fan, but the Rambam says that a Kohen could go into the Kodesh, pick up the menorah, walk it outside of the Kodesh to where the Yisraelim are allowed to be, a Yisrael can light the menorah, and the Kohen would bring it back and put it down. What does that tell you? When we're talking about menorah hamikdash, is it hadlaka osa mitzvah or hanacha osa mitzvah? It's hanacha osa mitzvah when it comes to menorah hamikdash. Why would that be? I don't know. I'm not sure why we would decide hanacha osa mitzvah by menorah hamikdash. But what is incredibly powerful when the Gemara and Shabbos and Chanukah has the machlokas, is it about hanacha osa mitzvah or hadlaka osa mitzvah? What might that Gemara really be asking? Oh, beautiful. Is it hanacha osa mitzvah? Are we dealing with menorah hamikdash? Is it hadlaka osa mitzvah? Are we dealing with pirsumei nisa? If I didn't have that havamina, I would never have known the Gemara even entertained that perspective, that suggestion. I think that's a beautiful potential insight into the value of a good havamina. It's rejected, but maybe that perspective lives on. Right? We're not going to reject the entire endeavor of trying to remind ourselves of the Neres HaMikdash. It's still an important part of Hanukkah, the Shiris of the Shvachos, the Chanukah of Mizbech, but maybe it's not the Iker, but it's still an important part of it. Let's see a couple of other halachos. There's an issue. Yeah?
Is that like the menorah on
Hanukkah? No, every day. They would light the Mikdash every single day, and it could be random Kohen, pick up the menorah, walk it outside, have Yisrael do it. Because if it was hadlaka, it needs to be lit in its proper place. It's the same way by us, the same way by Hanukkah, you can't light a menorah above 20 amos and then bring in put it down lower. Oh, that's fascinating. Ooh. Oh, that's okay though. The fact that Yisrael is allowed to do the lighting. It's not that he's doing the mitzvah, he's allowed to do the lighting. Okay, good. Okay. I may have said that wrong. My apologies. Okay. So then another question. We know that we are not allowed to use the light of the menorah. Remember, we're back in Hanukkah. We're not allowed to use the light of the Hanukkah menorah. Why not? Well, fascinating. Where does that come from? Well, that would be obvious. Is that true? Is it Mila? Okay, you're making a suggestion. You're not like quoting a Mar Mukum. You're suggesting Mamila. Okay, very good. Other possibilities? Why might you not be allowed to use the light of the what? Why? What do you mean? So you're saying one of two things. I'm not sure which one you're saying. Is it that I'm not gonna realize that? Is it that other people aren't gonna realize that I list this Lashem? Okay. Therefore, it's a chizaron in. Pertuminis. I just wanted you to say that. Yeah, it's a chizaron in pertuminis. Another possibility is you're doing a mitzvah right now, but if you lit your menorah l'shem mitzvah, but if you're using it to read a book, it's at least the message you might be giving to yourself or the message you're giving off is, nah, this is not really l'shem mitzvah. It's not dedicated to l'shem mitzvah. I need a light for my book. So all three of these suggestions, you guys are awesome. All three of these suggestions are brought in the Beit Yosef. Yeah. I imagine yes. Yes, I think we are going to reference that. You're not allowed to get other hanos from Tashmish and Mitzvah B'Shah. Yeah, at the time of the Mitzvah, correct. I think that's essentially what one of the suggestions are going to make. He doesn't use that terminology, but I think it's the same idea. Could be different, but I think he's saying that. Let's go through them inside. Beit Yosef, this is Simon. Tough Rish Ayin Gimel. So he's talking about the question of the different oils you're allowed to use for Hanukkah versus the oils you're allowed to use for Shabbos. So he quotes Rabbi Yirmiyahu in the Gemara. The Rabbi Yirmiyahu explains two potential concerns, and this addresses the two concerns. Kavtein zakuk la, if the menorah goes out, you don't need to relight it. That's one concern on Shabbos. And number two, asur lishtamish la'or, you're not allowed to use the oil, the light of the menorah itself. Pirush Rashi. Rashi explains both of those phrases. Kavtein zakuk la, hilkach v'chol shari. Since you don't need to relight it, therefore, I forget what that was referring to, but our goal is, our focus is us, the shamish la'ora, shehei nikar, shehu ner mitzvah, v'lek l'mechash la'ataya. The focus is she a nikar shu ner mitzvah. The reason you're not allowed to use the light of the menorah is we want it to be nikar, recognizable that this is a ner mitzvah. Nikar essentially says is usually taken throughout Hilchos Chanukah as facilitating pursuing nitzah. We want people to recognize that this was done to be mefarshim in the night and not just because you need a lamp at night. And therefore, Asur lishtamish la'ora. That was perspective number one. Number two, also in the Beit Yosef, Mash Shekatzav Loshna Tashmish Al Kedusha, Kegom Dil Mod, Loshna Shar Tashmish. The Torah said there's no difference between Tashmish Al Kedusha and Tashmish Al Chol. Ken Katzav Sham Haran. Vizeh Lishona, Asur lishtamish la'ora Perish, Kol Tashmish Nafil Tashmish Mitzvah. Why? Dikivan Shal Yedei Neis Shanasa Biminara Tiknuha, since Hanukkah came, the lighting of menorah came from the nace that was done with the menorah of the mikdash. Asu'uha kiminorah shein mishtam shin baklau. They gave it the same halachos of the menorah of mikdash, meaning you're not allowed to use it for anything, tash mishal chol or tash mishal mitzvah. So essentially, like you're saying, it's the concept of me'ila. It's paralleling the menorah of mikdash, and therefore you're not be allowed to use it for anything. Third one, Mashkaza Bala Iter, also in Beit Yosef, Dav Katashmish Shal Chol, Av Katashmish Shal Kedusha Shari, disagrees with that first Gita, Kachkaza Bishiboli Aleket, Dili Kroos B'Sefer La'ura Mutter, Dileka Bizoi Mitzvah, Ela Kavod. What did he just slip in there? If you're allowed to use, the one opinion says you're allowed to use the light of the menorah for Tashmish Shal Kedusha, just not Tashmish Shal Chol, why? What would the difference be? The if you're using it, let's say, for learning Torah, Leka Bizoi Mitzvah, Ela Kavod. What's that? What's covered? Using it l'shem mitzvah is not a bizui, it's a kavod. What does that imply? The general reason you're not allowed to use the light of the menorah is it's a bizayon to the mitzvah itself. Right? To be Zion to the mitzvah to say, I know that I lit this L'shem Chanukah, but like, now I'm going to read it to read my book. Now I'm going to read it, and now I'm going to use this light to play dreidel. However, if it's L'shem mitzvah, if you're using light of menorah L'shem mitzvah, you can call it a bizoy mitzvah. That's a kavod for the mitzvah. To use mitzvah 1 for mitzvah 2, this is not so pashut. But let's say, to use mitzvah 1 for mitzvah 2 is a kavod, it's a beautiful thing, as opposed to a bizoy. So we have three possible reasons. Is it aser mishum? Here's some Me'isa, you're not going to be able to tell that it's the menorah was lit l'shem in the nace. Or is it usher because of Me'ila, it's dome to the menorah to make dash? Or is it a bizoy mitzvah? Kind of, we can put that one to the side. Yes. No, I think those are two very different ideas. The fact that it's not recognizable for the nace is a pirsum benisa issue. People who are looking at the scene from the outside are not going to be able to tell that you lit this menorah l'shem pirsum anase. They're going to think you just needed a light for your book. As opposed to, it's more of like an objective statement. If even no one's around and you're sitting with you're sitting playing dreidel by the light of your menorah, that's a bizayon to the menorah. Like this, I'm supposed to be using this for a mitzvah. It's like using a sefer as a placemat. Right? That's a busha. It doesn't matter if people are around to see that or not. It's an objective busha. It's an objective bizayon. Another question. What's the role of the shamish? Is gonna play along similarly. What's the role of the shamish? Well, it's to light the other candles. Then why do you keep it around? Why do you keep it on the menorah? Well, if you do get hana, it would come from the shamish. Say it that way, right? If you do end up using the light, it would come from the shamish. That perspective assumes that what is the problem? What's the source of the issue? What's the source of the issue with using the light? If you want to make sure that you have an alternative source of light, what's the problem with using the light itself? Mi'ila, right? It's that the light itself is usher, so we're adding an additional source of light to make sure that you're not over on mi'ila. And actually, again, Beit Yosef quotes this one. He quotes it from the Mordechai. Mishum hachi nagu la'asot ha-shamish gadol yoser me'ha'acheros shim bali shamish yishtamish b'ner shalchol. Not only do we have it on the menorah, we either raise it up or we make it larger than the other candles. So practically, any light that you do get from your menorah will be coming from the shamish as opposed to the other candles. So we're trying to ensure that you never actually come to using the light itself, because it seems like the light is asher mishum mi'ila. But there's another possibility why you might want a shamish on your menorah. What might that be? Well, so let's read. This is from Rabbeinu Yeruchim. When you leave a shamish on your menorah so that you have access to its light, you should put it off to the side. Make sure that it's not together with the other candles. Shim lo kein, because if you don't do that, yomru al kulan letzarko hidlikan. You're a person who's watching what's going on is going to say that he lit all these candles because he wants a little bit of extra light. And therefore, if you have a place where it's not normal, it's very unusual to light candles there, ein tzarich ner acher lishtamish la'oru. You don't need a shamish. Even if you might end up using the light. He's clearly not taking the me'ila approach. Right? Because for the me'ila approach, it's all about the fact that if you use the light, you're over on the quasi me'ila, doris domet to the menorah samikdash. So he's definitely not coming with the me'ila approach. What is his focus? This is the Rabbeinu Yeruchim, again quoted by the Beit Yosef. Kishamaniach nerach l'ishamish l'oro, shim lo kein yomru al kulan litzar kohid likan. A person's not going to be able to recognize that my menorah is pirsume nisa. So the question of the shamish is: the shamish, do I need a shamish in a place where I'm not usually? If it's not normal to put neiros there, do I need a shamish bechlal? How should I set up the shamish? Is it supposed to be higher, larger, bigger than the other ones? Is that something which is necessary? Both of these questions brought down the Rabbeinu Yeruchim versus the Mordechai. Rabbeinu Yeruchim versus the Mordechai highlight this question. Is the point of the menorah, is this domus of the menorah, is mikdash, was it set up as the reminder to what happened in the mikdash, the quasi mi'ila, or was the problem, was the goal, the pirsumei nisa, and what was the related nafkaminas? Totally lost it there, okay? Yeah, what do you guys think? It doesn't create Pirsumi Nisa. It allows a person to recognize that the light that I'm using is coming from the Shamish, as opposed to these candles must be for something else. So what are they for? A person's able to realize they're there L'shem Pirsumi Nisa. No, anybody, an outside observer. Somebody walks into the room and sees me reading a book next to my menorah. If it's just the menorah, he's going to think, oh, this is a lamp that he needed light for. If he sees the Shamish kind of off to the side, oh, that's the one that he's getting his light from, which means the other candles are doing something else. What's the something else? Pirsumi Nisa. Rabbeinu Yerucham versus the Mordechai, two different goals, two different points of the Shamish, which highlight or reinforce these two different perspectives on what we're doing with the menorah in the first place. Jake, you got a question? Is that like distinct enough? It's an interesting question. It's like a half an inch past the other ones. I think if it is noticeable, I guess you do accomplish the goal. I guess. But it does sound like he wants it more set off or more distinct. Yeah, and that's the mission. Brewer makes that clear. Yeah, practically it's not as much of a question nowadays because we do have the electricity. In a situation where you really did need the light, or you were actually using the light of the menorah, it would be important to have that challenge. That what? Oh, interesting. Okay. Cool. Okay, another question. This one's fascinating. What would you say? We know that we light candles. This is the connection to what we said before. We light candles in the Beit Knesset, right? So what would be the reason that we light candles in the Beit Knesset? That would be the most obvious one. I'm shocked that I haven't seen that more prominently. I have to keep looking. Yeah, this is still a work in progress. I was shocked that I hadn't seen that more prominently, but we are definitely going to see that inside. What are the other reasons given? Pirsumi Nisa. Everybody comes to Shul. Baruch is a non-pandemic time. Everybody comes to Shul. It is a place of gathering. This is a place where everyone's going to come get together. So, of course, you want to have a menorah here, the Farseim Hanes. One third suggestion. Again, these are all basic safe ideas. Same thing we say about Kiddush in the Shul, Havdalah in the Shul. We do that for the guests that used to stay here. So we'll light menorah here also, so that these guests who aren't able to light in their own homes will have a menorah either to light, be involved in, to see, anything like that. Idea number one. Od Tam Acher. It's a beautiful piersum. It's the Kiddush Hashem to light the menorah in a place where everybody gets together, a berov am. So the goal, according to the second perspective, is it's piersum enisa. Lighting the shul is a way to facilitate piersum enisa. One third one, we call... However, Mikol Makrim Ba'osad Lachan Shal Beis Knesses Ein Adam Yotzeba B'Tzarach Lachzor L'Hadak Olachad Be'Beisem. Now this is surprising. If the goal of lighting in the shul was Pirshim Nisa, if the goal was to provide Orchim an opportunity to light, surprising that you're not actually able to be Mekam Yer Mitzvah with it. No? If it was set up in the manner of Siyas HaMitzvah, then I'm surprised you can't actually fulfill your mitzvah. Then you look at the next line. Mashkatav Shemenicha B'Drom Zecher LeMenorah. The Torah said that you should put the menorah being lit in the Beis Knesset in the south as a zecher to the menorah, the Beis HaMikdash. The Torah said that Kasav Sheish Mekomos Shemesadrim Osam Bein Mizrach LeMariv Mekomos Acherim Shemesadrim Osam Bein Tzafon LeDarim. It's a big question. How are you supposed to set up the candles? East to west or north to south? What is that question? What's the machlokas based on? That's based on the machlokas about menorah samikdash. The Gemara Menachos records machlokas that they had that exact same question, that exact same argument about the menorah samikdash. So the way we light, not only is it zeicher to the mikdash, but even the way we light in the Beis Knesset is meant to be parallel to the way they lit in the Beis Knesset. That seems to clearly say that at least an element of lighting the Beis Knesset, like Jake said, is a reminder to or a hearkening back to the lighting in the Beis, the lighting that we had done in the Beis Mikdash, which makes a lot of sense. And the point of lighting, at least one of the main points of lighting the menorah in the first place, was a zecher to the menorah. We're going to finish this off talking about the name Chanukah itself. What was the name Chanukah instituted for? What does the name Chanukah call to mind? What is it reference? Chinucham is back. I would have thought it was the most obvious one. I'm not going to say it's the earliest one, but there are a lot of very early Mekoros which suggest that Chanukah was really set up as Chanukah Samikdash, Chanukah Samizbeach. We're running out of time. So the Marsha makes this clear. Mesechtos Ketanos says that the Mizmor that we say on Hanukkah is the Mizmor of Arumimcha Hashem. What is Arumimcha Hashem? Well, the first words of that one is Mizmor Shir Hanukkah Sabayis Zavid Arumimcha Hashem Ki Tivu Tanuglos Masoi Vayli. A bunch of other Makaris which make that clear. So the Hanukkah, the Shem Hanukkah might be Chinuch HaMizbeach, Chinuch HaMikdash. Gemara says that the original Mishkan was finished on Chatei Kislev, but Hashem pushed off the inauguration until Nisan, the month of the Avos. So the goal, at least according to that, is, or the focus according to that, is Chanukas HaMikdash, Chanukas HaMishkan. On the other hand, the one we're more familiar with, Neis Pach Shemen, right? The simple reading of the Gemara in Shabbos, Mai Chanukah, Tzon Rabbanon, Chavei B'Kislev, Yom HaChanukah, the little Pach Shemen that they lit, and they lit for 8 days. The Gemara seems to be very clearly implying, that the focus of the holiday is this little jug of oil which lasted for 8 days. The focus is on the Neis Pach Shemen, and then, obviously, we would be looking to Mefarsim that Neis. So when it came to Hanukkah, we asked the question, what was the kind of focal point? What are we looking to really highlight? We had two suggestions. Either it was the inauguration of the Mikdash, which could be symbolized by lighting the menorah, or it's the Pirsumi Nisa, the miracle that Hashem did for us, which could also be symbolized by lighting the menorah. If they're both symbolized by the same thing, how are we supposed to figure out which one is the Iker? And we said when they clash, or when there are different halachos which would point in either direction, then we can see which one would kind of win out. We spoke about the Havamina of Hanukkah Osa Mitzvah versus Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah. Hanukkah Osa Mitzvah is true by the Mikdash, but Hadlaka by Hanukkah, which seems to take the focus off of the menorah and Mikdash, that at least tells us it's supposed to be there. And then we had three different areas, so we had three questions. Number one, Asur Yisamish La'ora. Number two, the role of the Shamish. And number three, the name, Hanukkah itself, were all taken in these different directions. Is it about the reminder to the inauguration of the Mikdash versus the point of Pirsumei Nisa? All kind of break down along these two lines. Okay.